are so happy to be with you again this Sunday morning, as we are each Sunday morning, and here we are approaching Christmas, and one looks back and wonders, where in the world did the old year go to? Here it is, time for Christmas shopping again, to remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and coming to a glorious holiday, and we pray that this will be a very happy and merry Christmas for you. We do want to take the opportunity and thank each one of you that's been with us the past year, the past 4 or 5 years now. On the radio here, we've enjoyed having you and enjoyed the privilege of coming into your homes and to share the Bible teaching with you each Sunday morning. We count it our privilege, and thank you for being our radio guest. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to continue right on with our Bible study here. We're in the Gospel of John. We're over here now to the 14th chapter as we continue our survey through it. When we come to some important passages, of course all of the Word of God is important, but some that we feel may need emphasizing a little bit more than others, then we're going to digress and spend a little bit of time on that. We're at such a verse here this morning. Last week, if you'll recall, in the first three verses where the Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you, we amplified on that quite a bit, showing this was the cross he went to prepare heaven for us. Then we come on down and find in verse 6, or we'll begin here in verse 5, the Lord says here, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And then Jesus said in verse 6, a very important verse that we're going to amplify quite a bit on this morning, because it is the only way to heaven. And when we see the cults, and we see the denominations, and we see various churches under this heading or that heading saying, well, you go to heaven if you pray to this person, you go to heaven if you confess your sins to this man, or you go to heaven if you read this book that we've got here, so-and-so's a prophet, and we believe he's equal with the Bible, equal with the prophets of the old. Now, if you listen to what he has to say, and pretty soon you have all these extra-biblical things that are included in on how to get to heaven. I was reading the other day where one cult said, well, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you must have hands laid on, you must be baptized, you must do this, and they had their 5 steps that you go through, and then... only then. And then I was surprised at this one. Even then you couldn't know you went to heaven. You must endure to the end. And boy, they yanked that scripture right out of context and tried to use it as a sledgehammer over somebody's head, that if you ever stub your toe along the way in the Christian life and Christ comes, you forfeited it all. And these are scare tactics. These are not the teaching of the Word of God. And that's the reason we're going to spend a little bit of time here on John chapter 14, verse 6. We hope you have your Bibles open, and we'll begin to read with us if you will. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now we're going to continue on in the next verses here, where he talks to Philip. We'll do this in just a few minutes. He talks to Philip, and Philip asks him, he said, Lord, show us the Father. And then the Lord rebukes him, said, the Father's right here in your midst. I am the Father in human flesh. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Goes on to ask Philip. He said, Philip, how come you have been so long with me and you still don't understand these things? And we might ask you, and it's surprising to me as a pastor, how long people have been in church and do not know the Lord Jesus Christ? How long have you been in the church building or belong to a denomination and have never met Jesus Christ? That's amazing to me. It's unbelievable. And yet it's true in many, many cases. But we find here in John 14:6, and we're going to bring in some other verses with this and show the importance of it. I would underline this verse in my Bible. It is the only way to heaven. There is no other way. And this is it right here. This is the egg in the nutshell right here in John 14:6. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way. See, I am, that's Jesus Christ, none other. I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now this is interesting as you begin to read this and understand that there is no other way. It's not being a Baptist. It's not being baptized. He didn't say being baptized washed away your sins. It does not. But the blood of Jesus Christ does. He said, I am the way. Now, I would like for you to put some cross references, if you are following with us in our Bible study as we go through these surveys in various books of the Bible, you'll find out it'll be beneficial to you if you will put cross references into the various verses that other verses of the Bible pertain to. Now, here we begin to find, especially in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, and we hope that you'll go over here with us if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, and here's what the Bible says. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now, I'm saying this for this reason and going to amplify on it and bring out some things. Now, you listening, if you belong to a denomination that does contrary to this, then you're either going to get upset. I hope you turn to the Bible and see what the Bible has to say. You say, only one mediator between God and man. That's absolutely right. Do you know that so many times and how sad it is? You know when trouble comes into a family, you hear somebody say, well, I went to the priest and I prayed and I had him make intercession for me. Now, this is going to shock you, but that priest couldn't make intercession for you under no possibility in any way a priest, a rabbi, or myself, or any pastor can make intercession for you to the Father. We cannot do it. The clergy cannot do it. The priest cannot do it. The rabbi cannot do it. The minister cannot do it. And the Bible says here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, for there is, and I want you to read it with me, because we're not trying to diminish at all the Bible. We're trying to exalt the Bible and diminish man. Man has put himself in the place of Jesus Christ. Priests have substituted themselves for the position of Christ. Rabbis and ministers have taken upon themselves to claim to have forgiveness of sin. And it's an absolute lie from the pits of hell. There is no pastor, there is no minister, there is no priest that can be a mediator or ever have you come in and confess your sins and forgive you of your sins. That's a satanic doctrine. You couldn't find it in the Bible. Now, Jesus Christ does. And the thing is amazing to me how that some of these people and some of these men and some of this clergy can say, I love God, and then try to take the place of Jesus Christ themselves is an absolute, absolute satanic influence and satanic doctrine. God says here that there is one mediator, there is one God, one mediator, not two, one mediator between God and man and the man Christ Jesus. Now, what every pastor and every priest and every rabbi should do is that when a person has problems, is direct them to Jesus Christ. When they come in to talk and maybe they have committed sins that they want to talk about, take them to Christ, who is the mediator. He's the mediator, not myself, not the priest, not the rabbi. In fact, a priest, a rabbi, or a minister in no way, shape, or form can ever forgive one sin, not as far as making absolution or being a mediator between that person and God. There's only one mediator. That person has to go to the Lord Jesus Christ, not a priest, not a rabbi, not a minister, not myself, not any of the clergy. No human man can ever make intercession. No wonder Jesus Christ said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And every cult will substitute a man for Jesus Christ. They'll put a Joseph Smith. They'll put a Mary Baker Eddy with Christian Science. They'll put the Fillmores in Unity. Or they'll take every cult will substitute or add a prophet to the prophets God has given in the Word of God here. Every one of them. And they'll substitute and diminish the Word of God, even though they claim verbally and orally, oh, we believe the Bible. If you believe the Bible, you would not substitute and put another Bible and put another prophet alongside of it. One mediator between God and man, that is Christ Jesus. Now, sometimes we find in one particular sect says, well, we also have priests. We have ordained and transferred the priesthood of Moses and Aaron unto our earthly priest. And let me say this, if I may, and I'd like for you to turn, because we're going to take a lesson in a Greek word this morning where the priesthood of Christ is untransferable. And I think this needs to be brought out. Now, we're going to have to dive in and get a Greek word here, but we'll find out what that Greek word means. I would advise to write it down in my Bible. We'll give you the spelling of that Greek word, and you can go look it up in your Strong's Concordance or your Vine's Expository Words on the Greek New Testament. You can look it up in your concordance, whatever you want, and find this out, and find out that God Christ has never transferred his priesthood unto any earthly being. No Roman Catholic priest ever has the priesthood of Jesus Christ. No priest in Mormonism ever has the priesthood of Christ or Aaron or Melchizedek or Moses. They have never been transferred. You say, where in the world do you find that? Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 7, and let us begin here, if you will, in verse 22. All right, if I've got the right one here. Let's see here. Hebrews, I'm sorry, let's go to Hebrews That's it. Chapter 7, verse 22. Let's go here and begin. All right? Now, notice here in verse 22, by so much was Jesus made a better surety of a better testament. That is the new covenant. Testament here in Hebrews means covenant. And they truly were many priests, speaking of the Old Testament priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. The reason there was so many priests is a simple reason: they died. When one died, another had to take his place. But when Christ came and rose from the dead, he ever liveth to make intercession for us, and he'll never die, so there's never another priest. He's alive forevermore. He will never take on human flesh and die again. He gave his life once for us. But now notice in verse 24, but this man, that's Christ, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Now here's something important that we hope you'll mark. You can check it up and check up on me if you want to. I hope you do. Underline the word unchangeable here, because it is a slight mistranslation. The Greek word is spelled A-P-A-R-A-B-R-T-O-S, or A-T-O-S. Let me spell it again. A-P-A-R-A-B-A-T-O-S. It appears only one time in the Greek New Testament, and it is translated, and should be translated, untransferable. Now, what he's saying is simply this: this man, because he continueth forever, hath a untransferable priesthood. It is never transferred to the Mormon priesthood. It is never transferred to the Roman Catholic Church. It is never transferred to any priest. In fact, any priest has really no right to call themselves a priest, because we have only one priest, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, this seems so upsetting because people follow men, they follow a church, they follow a denomination, and have never taken time to look into the Bible and find out the falsity and the lies that are being projected through churches and being projected through organized religion that are contrary and satanic doctrine, opposed to the Word of God. That's the reason we thank God for radio broadcasts. We thank the Lord for broadcasts like J. Vernon McGee and some of the others, and WCRF out of Cleveland, and some of the good Christian radio stations and broadcasts. We have others here on WPVL that are good Christian churches that preach the Bible and teach it, thus saith the Lord, and we're thankful to God for that, because one broadcast just complements the other, and we're grateful for that, so grateful. And yet you have this Bible teaching that teaches contrary to what organized religion says. Now, this is important because we're only doing this to bring out a point. Number one, if you belong to a church that says, the priest, you come in and confess your sins, ask where that's at in the Bible. Turn your Bible and go into your priest and say, here's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. There's only one mediator. What in the world are you doing trying to forgive my sins? What are you doing calling me in on Friday night or Saturday night? What are you doing? You have no right to do that. There's one mediator. What are you doing taking the place of Jesus Christ? What are you doing trying to play the Son of God? You never died on the cross for my sins. How in the world do you have the right to forgive my sins? You don't have. Then why in the world, if you love God, are you trying to play God? Why are you trying to substitute yourself for Jesus Christ? And here I've been praying to you and confessing to you, and you couldn't forgive anything. In fact, you have to go to Christ to have your own sins forgiven, and you're trying to play God and forgive mine. And I say that strongly because this is a false projection. This is a satanic doctrine. It comes from the pits of hell. And the Bible here rebukes all such teaching. What we seek to do is to direct you that are listening, not to a pastor, not to a priest, not to a rabbi, but the one who can truly forgive your sins, and that only is Jesus Christ. Now, come on over with me, if you will. I would surely underline this in my Bible. The unchangeable here is a mistranslation. It means untransferable. There are no priests today with the power to make any intercession unto God except the Lord Jesus Christ. Write these verses down, and we pray that you'll take thus saith the Lord. And not only that, I hope you don't get mad at me on the radio for telling you what the Bible says. You ought to get mad at the man that's deceiving you and trying to play Jesus Christ when he himself has to have his own sins forgiven and is tinkering with your life, directing you the wrong direction. That's the person you ought to be mad at. That's the person you ought to grab your Bible and go to and say, hey, what in the world are you doing trying to play Jesus Christ and forgive sins when you yourself are a sinner? And that is true. Romans 3:23 says we've all sinned. Every priest, every rabbi, every minister, everyone ever created or born in this world has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person outside of Jesus Christ needs the forgiveness of Christ on the cross of Calvary. No wonder no human being can ever forgive sins. But Christ can, and that's what the Bible says. Now, turn with me, if you will, because we also have the teaching. Well, you know, and I heard this, this was sad. I just seen this on television just a couple of nights ago. Find out the young girl that died over in Cleveland was hit by a car. Couldn't believe this. And I heard the man get up and say, well, thanks to your prayers, she's in heaven. No, she is not in heaven, thanks to your prayers. She's in heaven because of her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if she received Christ, because you couldn't pray anybody in heaven if you tried. And yet people sat there and swaddled up a nice little sermonette that was absolutely as false could ever be presented. And I wonder, you know, you see people sit out there so gullible, don't they ever turn in their Bible? Don't they ever look and see what God has to say? And I pray the girl did put her faith in Jesus Christ, and she is in heaven. But she's not there because some priest says, thanks to your prayers. You couldn't pray her in heaven if you tried. There isn't a verse in the Bible that says your prayers are going to get somebody to heaven. Not after they died. Their destiny is sealed. And I surely pray the girl had her faith in Christ, and she could very well have. I don't know. But I know this. There's so much false teaching of putting faith in something else or praying to this or praying to that. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4 now, if you will. Hebrews chapter 4. And all this we're centering back to John 14:6, where there's only one person to pray to, there's only one person who can forgive your sins, and there's only one way to heaven, and it's not Mormonism, it's not Baptism, if you want to call it that, it's not Lutheranism, it's not Methodism, it's not Roman Catholicism, it's not Jehovah's Witness, but it is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. He knows nothing of denominations. He knows nothing of any other false prophet. But he does know about himself, and he knows what he completed and what he did, and he died on the cross. He came on, and we celebrate Christmas for the birth of the Lord Jesus. And he truly did take on a body, but he only did it for one purpose. And by the way, he never gave us commandment to worship at Christmas time, because sometimes we get so engulfed in the worshiping of his birth, we lose sight of his death. But truly, he was born so that he could go to the cross, die on the cross, and be resurrected from the dead to ever live to make intercession for us. Now, turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 4, if you will. And let's begin down here, if you will, in verse 14. Now, notice here in Hebrews 4:14, because we are invited to come to the throne of grace, but not through a priest, not through a rabbi, not through a minister, but as John 14:6 says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except through the Son. Except through me. I'm the one who died for you. And then in the 14th verse, we begin to read. And I hope you're following in your Bible with me, because it really will not mean as much to you when you hear it on the radio as much as if you have your Bible open and you read it for yourself. And then the Word of God just sort of jumps out of the Bible and it becomes alive. And you say, I've never seen that before, but here it is. Well, it sure is, and we'd like for you to read it. Don't believe me, I could make a mistake. But you can believe the Word of God. Let's read it together. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, that's Christ, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tested like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Who invites us to come? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the one who is our high priest? The Lord Jesus Christ. There is none other than Him. Now notice something else, and this is sort of interesting here. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews chapter 10, and we find out here in verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. There is a positional sanctification and a practical sanctification. Positional sanctification is at salvation when Christ, and the word sanctification means set apart. Basically, that's what the word means. When we have put our faith in the Lord Jesus, we are set apart, positioned as a child of God. There is a practical sanctification, means in our daily lives, practically, we set ourselves apart to serve the Lord Jesus. Here, it is a positional sanctification. And notice in verse 11, every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But the Lord Jesus Christ, by His offering, has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now back to John 14:6, as our time has run out this morning. Let me again emphasize, and the reason that we are so strong teaching that there is only one way to heaven is, friend, if you try to go there by a denomination, you'll end up in hell. If you try to go there by substituting an act you do in water baptism, which water would never wash away your sins, but the blood of Jesus Christ did, if you're trusting that water baptism, then you'll end up dying to pay for your own sins. If you're trusting a church or a priest or a rabbi or a minister to run in on Saturday night or Sunday morning after you've had your fling Saturday night, and you're going to soothe your conscience by confessing everything to the priest and then feel a little ease of your conscience, and then next week you'll make your weekly trip in again to go through the same rigmarole, it's almost like a game you're playing with yourself. Number one, first of all, the priest can forgive absolutely no sins you go and confess. Jesus Christ is the only one who can do it, and that's the reason for this message this morning. Not to try to discredit anyone, but try to put Christ in his rightful place here at Christmas time. He came to die on the cross. No human priest ever did this. But he came to die for you. Don't accept the substitute. Take the original, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man will ever come unto the Father except through the Son. We hope this morning you'll examine the verses, put your faith in Jesus Christ, confess your sins to Jesus Christ after you become a Christian, and if you have anything to pray about, go to Christ. Not Mary, not the priest, not the rabbi, not the pastor. There is one mediator between God and man, and that is Christ Jesus. We pray that you'll trust him as your Savior today. Well, it's been so good to be with you again this Sunday morning. Thank you so much for the privilege to come into your homes. We hope you take a minute, drop us a line, let us know that you're listening. God bless you and a Merry Christmas. Until next week, may the truth of God's Word keep marching on.